I am Roberta Schultz. As a songwriter and sometimes poet, I'm always worried about the truth and how I might convey that truth by using facts. I mean, who's going to resonate with my lyrics? I search for seed to feed my need for singing. If I titled the song The Robin Song, which I did, until I realized that robins prefer worms. So even if a writer is speaking metaphorically, a song about seed eaters must include an actual seed eater, like a redbird, for instance. Attention to facts, historical and natural, is one of the attributes that makes At the Edge of the Orchard by Tracy Chevalier, Penguin Books 2016, such an appealing read. Add to that the author's ability to draw memorable yet flawed characters who interact with historical figures, and the author's skill for presenting characters in a non-linear yet engaging plot, and you get the kind of novel that will attract truth seekers who like their stories cooked up with a fascinating side of facts. Chevalier chose the Black Swamp of Ohio in the 1830s as one of her primary settings for the novel. She spent some time in western Ohio walking around in the remnants of that swamp and read many accounts of the people who lived there, as well as those who passed through swampland on their way west toward the California Gold Rush. In order to portray a family of apple growers, she ate many varieties of apples, spent time picking them, and even learned how to graft apple trees. For her California setting, Chevalier took some time to stand among the giant sequoias, trying to figure out how to describe in words what she felt in their presence. She also discovered some interesting facts about how sequoias need fire to propagate. Along with her search of place, the author includes some historical figures in her narrative. Johnny Appleseed, who would have definitely sold apple seedlings to settlers, like the fictional Goodenoughs of the Black Swamp, and William Lobb, an English plant collector who sent seeds and seedlings of California's plants and trees back to England. He would have been among the first to see the giant sequoias, and therefore would make a likely foil for the novel's protagonist, Robert Goodenough, who travels west from the Black Swamp to escape his family's tragedy. In an interview shared by her publicist earlier this year, Chevalier had this to say about her inclusion of these two historical figures. "I like having real people in fiction. They anchor a story and make what is made up feel more real. There, I've revealed a historical novelist's trick." Whether or not this is a trick won't matter much to readers of At the Edge of the Orchard, since the historical figures play pivotal roles in stoking the novel's conflicts. Johnny Appleseed, whose real name was John Chapman, visits the hapless Goodenough family as they struggle to coax a living from the unforgiving Black Swamp with their legacy of sweet apples from Connecticut. Since most of Johnny Appleseed's saplings and seeds produce the kind of sour apple used in cider, particularly the hard cider embraced by the rough and tumble Sadie Goodenough, his visits fire up the battle between husband and wife about what kind of apples to grow. And William Lobb meets up with Robert Goodenough in Calaveras Grove, California, at a point where Robert has run as far west away from his family problems as he can. Historical plant collector meets fictional apple grower's son, just in time to expand Robert's knowledge of transplanting both plants and trees of California. The plot of At the Edge of the Orchard begins in straightforward narrative, depicting the Goodenoughs as they struggle against swamp fever and adverse growing conditions to survive in the Black Swamp. But the author switches point of view by character, a technique used effectively by one of my favorite writers, Barbara Kingsolver, in the Poisonwood Bible. The middle section of the novel, reflecting Robert Goodenough's journey west, is delivered through letters home to his brothers and sisters, making the reader wonder at his abrupt departure. Once Robert joins William Lobb in their venture to procure and send sequoias and other California plants to England, the narrative again settles into chronology, then uses letters from the Black Swamp to tie up many questions about what happens to the Goodenough family. The author skillfully reveals the family tragedy through flashback. Thanks to Tracy Chevalier's fine attention to facts, I am now editing some of my poems about California's big trees to be exact about the species. After all, What truth can I expect to share if I don't know my redwoods from my sequoias? You can find a link to At the Edge of the Orchard by Tracy Chevalier at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I am Roberta Schultz.